And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's a snack pack, everyone. I know our season has ended, but it's always a good time to go ahead and raid the kitchen for a snack. It's Gerald Glassford. Come right back out to here from the Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week on radio stations worldwide and wherever you get your podcasts. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, I've got an episode I'm going to record tonight with Chris Sardieri, hoping the guys, aka Sean and Joe, can join me with their thoughts on the NFL draft and how it will affect your team in fantasy football, Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It is, of course, also as well, Stone Hansen, who will be coming up here in a second. You can go ahead and catch him on Twitter, the Twitter at report_court. Also, our good friend John Costa. He is the man behind, of course, Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. Also, as well, of course, Laker Tom. There are no reports on Laker Tom as of yet. We're hoping he is okay. I know he's in deep mourning. I'm kidding. You just have to go to at Laker Tom on Twitter and you'll be able to find him there. But he is in deep mourning and you can hear about all the great things that he's going to say and all the crazy trade proposals you know that are on its way. Right there for you, along with Jamie Sweet, aka Admiral Akbar, at LakerHolics.com. Plus also Joe Soro. You know he's going to be on here over the coming days, weeks, and months. Go ahead and check out what he's doing. It's Oxcenti47 at LakersBall.com. And of course, you know what? If you're in the Southern California area and you need your lawn transformed into something much better than it is today, go ahead and give Joe's company a sign. I know we give him a hard time, but I will never give Simblades with a Y.com a hard time because they really do good work there. So go ahead and check out his website, Simblades with a Y.com. Our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, yo, also as well, John McCallion Channel, all these great channels. Please support them, but also support ours as well by liking, following, subscribing wherever you see us, whether it's on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, blah, 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 all over the place on social media. Go ahead and make sure you subscribe, follow, and like us. It really helps us out right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Well, the Lakers are coming off a devastating season-ending game where they had, once again, a lead various times throughout the game. They actually led over 70% of the series, but couldn't get the jobs done in 1, 2, 3, and 5. And unfortunately, they are 1, 2, 3 Cancun at this point in time. LeBron saying he wants to spend more time with the family right now before he heads back into basketball mode with the Olympics. We'll see what Anthony Davis is doing the same thing, I'm assuming, wants to do. But again, many questions are abound. I know everybody is, as far as the Lakers world, is in tune with Shams and Woj's Twitter accounts to find out, are they going to fire Darvin Ham? Is Rob Pelinka going out the door? Well, nothing has happened as of yet. It's all quiet on the Western Front. But we're going to talk about some of the things now that could happen, should happen, will happen, won't happen, as far as the Lakers and the organization moving forward. And here today to discuss that, one of the keenest basketball minds that's out there. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out today at report_ on Twitter. It is the man, the myth, the legend, Stone Hansen. And Stone, great to have you here. Jarvis, yes, yesterday's loss, it still stings. Because again, 70% of the series, the Lakers were in the lead. Four different games, the Lakers had double-digit leads. It was right there on the table. AD gets hurt. Yes, you could say that could be the difference. Also, 9 free throws. Yes, you could say that's the difference. The offensive rebounds they gave up in the last 5 minutes, that could be the difference. The missed layups in the first and second quarters, that could be the difference. But again, when it comes down to it, Denver won, Stone, and the Lakers didn't.
Yep. It's the same story repeating over and over again. I'm frankly tired of it. I'll say this, it hurts a lot less when you're expecting this result. Not that that's a good thing, but I don't want to be expecting it, but And, you know, I'm not going to say to everybody that I told you so. I'm not going to say that I expected this team to be a first round exit.
I'll tell it to you, Stone.
Mediocre. I'm not going to say it, Gerald. I'm not going to. But I am going to say that this team is very mediocre, and that's the reason we lost, to be quite honest. That we can talk about, and we have a whole lot about why this team is where they are, whether it be ownership, whether it be management, whether it be coaching. But at the end of the day, it does come down to what is on the floor. And, what is on the floor could be a result of those other factors mentioned previously. But it also has to do with the fact that it's just not good enough. You just do not have what it takes to beat the best teams. And that's a problem. And, we'll get into more of the ways maybe you go about that, but the bottom line is this team is, they played a Denver that was beat up and bruised, wasn't playing their best, to be honest. And if they were, it'd probably have been a sweep in like a more dominating fashion. This team is just not built to beat the best. And when they're not, you have to look at alternatives. And this team is just not built for that, and it's frustrating. I'm frustrated with everybody else, but I'm not. It doesn't sting or hurt as much for me because it's how I expected this season to end for them, and it's that in itself is what frustrates me.
Well, I mean, if you looked at it on paper and you asked somebody who didn't know about the NBA, who would win in a matchup between a 50-plus win team and a 47-win team, Stone, you're going to say, more often than not, the team with the better record is more likely to win the series. And it just came down to that. It just came down to they executed at the end of four out of those five games better than the Lakers did. And you can attribute that to coaching. You attribute that to talent. You attribute that to things that they didn't do correctly during the course of the game. I think when it starts off with Darvin Ham, I know that the latest that they're trying to, you know, he has his comments that he says on his post game, you know, they're just atrocious. I just think the man should just not talk to the media, just walk off. I think it's better for him if he did, but he does anyways. But the thing I think that everybody's talking about is the foul to give with under a minute to play. Why don't you foul Jamal Murray when he has the ball? And then secondly, you know, when the Denver Nuggets went on their run, Ham didn't call a timeout to try and slow the momentum down quickly enough. So I think that's a lot of things that I think you want to tie in there. But Darvin Ham obviously has not endeared himself to Lakers Nation out there in any sense, the fashion. But for me, I don't think I would start with that as step one. I would start with Rob Pelinka and getting rid of him first. That would be where I would start. Well, because Jeannie won't get rid of herself. Where would you start with this organization?
If it's not with selling the team, it would be with Rob, but to be quite honest, I view that as equally unlikely as it is for Jeannie to sell the team. I think unfortunately, but I think Rob is just too in with Jeannie to go anywhere. I think that portion, the top two decision makers in that franchise, are going nowhere. So to me, I don't have anything else to really say in regards to them, because I think it's kind of fruitless to spend time on them when they're not going anywhere. I think that those two are just, they're entrenched in this Lakers organization for the long-term foreseeable future. And there's not really any changing that. So because of that, I guess I would start with the coach. I personally think Darvin Ham is quite bad, and people that disagree with me, that's completely fine. But
that number is getting less and less. I'm just telling you right now.
It is, and the main reason I see as to why people continue to want to give Darvin Ham a chance is because they think that he It's a first time head coach. He needs time to understand this team and whatever. My first thought is it's been 2 years. How much more time do you need? My second thought is, if that is the case, isn't that a problem in and of itself when you're a team that is contending for a championship? Why is your thought process, let's hire a coach that needs to develop? To me, that just doesn't really make that much sense. So I would start with Darvin Ham. And from there, Gerald, this is what most people are going to disagree with me about, I think, is that we should start over. Start over with this team. I do not understand, and I've tried to, I do not understand what benefits there are to continuing to fight to be a play-in team. Doing it over and over again, this is now the fourth year. How many are you going to do a fifth year just to get the same result? I don't understand it. It's continuing to define insanity by spinning your tires over and over again. And I think it's done. I think the window ended this year. This was really the final year to make it happen. And now, because of not trading D'Lo at the deadline, you're more than likely going to lose him for nothing. And you have no assets to build around what two franchise cornerstones you have. And even if you did, is it even enough? Probably not. So I don't see this team as something I would like to move forward with. I would personally like to strip it down and start over with a clean slate.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. So you had watched The Tomorrow War before The Matrix?
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really? Funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is a snack pack along with Stone Hansen at report_court. It's me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. And back again is the man indeed, the guy behind Simblades, simbladeswithay.com. Please check it out if you are in the Southern California area and you need a new lawn transformed into something much better than it is today. It is Joe Soro, a.k.a. Ox1947. Joe, thank you for joining us. I put the feelers out in case somebody wanted to join Stone Hansen and I talking about the Lakers. And you were very adamant yesterday on keeping things the way they were as far as personnel-wise for the most part and just adding pieces on it, because it seems like the question will remain now, or the question that's going to go out there, one of the many that the Lakers has, is this team still capable of a championship with LeBron and AD as your top two guys?
Yes, but it's not going to be a 4 or 5 year run. My worry right now is I don't know if this team is capable of starting over at this moment. I don't think with the way the current rules and regulations, I don't know if they're going to be able to acquire stars. I know that's kind of ignorant to say considering they've always done it, but it's getting harder and harder to do that. And in order for you to not do that, you have to play terribly for a while and get draft picks, or trade half your roster for a player. So let's use Minnesota as an example. Minnesota won the lottery in 2015 and got Karl Anthony Towns. At the time, they went through a few players. Jimmy Butler was up there. They sort of won, but they didn't. Then they stunk again and were fortunate to win again and get, this time with what it's looking like, a legit one. I don't know if Carl Anthony Towns is a one. I think he might be a two. And Anthony Edwards, who's still in my book, still I'm waiting on, but he's starting to not make me wait.
I don't know. 40 in that game four.
I'm just saying. And again, okay. He doesn't have to win the championship to prove it either.
Okay.
I think what we have, and you know, we are unfair. I can sometimes we get stuck in that too. He's only in his fourth season, and we're expecting
he's 22, Joe.
Yeah. I get it. But there were times where he disappeared, and I'm like, hold your horses.
Of course. No worries.
I'm seeing Jordan stuff, and I'm like, will you stop?
Yeah, that has to
it's because it's his son.
Yeah, they did that to Jimmy Butler too, the half and half, right?
But that's, again, just they got to stop that.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand here. However, it looks like he is coming into his own finally, and it's going to go to another level, a relevant level, should they beat Denver. If they beat Denver in the next round, it's going to really increase there, and they're going to start looking like the favorites to win it all.
I agree.
Because the Celtics just lost Porzingis. They're saying he's out several weeks, which basically means he's out for the year.
I think he'll come back if they get to finals run.
If they get to the finals, maybe, but I don't know if – I don't know.
Will it be more than a Wood Vanderbilt where they come back on the roster, come back and they're just there sitting on the sidelines doing nothing?
Unfortunately, the Lakers could still win without those guys.
Yeah,
the Celtics likely won't be able to win without Porzingis. Porzingis created space. He created a third option, a second option sometimes. So it's going to be very difficult for them to. It's going to be very difficult for them to do the two man show again and win it all against somebody out west. They might make it through the east. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But in the end here, guys, or to kind of counteract Stone's theory or option, if this was an NFL team, I would be on board 100%, even baseball. The problem is in the NBA, you have to suck to get better. And I can't watch 2015 through 2017 again. I can't do it.
I'll let you finish.
I had a 10-year run where I didn't miss a Laker game. And I finally died in 16. Finally caught up. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. I finally took off. Like after the All-Star break, I was like, I can't do it. I can't watch every game anymore. It's absolutely killing me. So I'm at the point now where if you can bring in enough talent and bring back, because I actually think I don't believe anybody's going to give D'Angelo Russell a 4-year, $100 million contract. I don't believe it.
Not after his performance in the first round.
But I do believe that someone could give him a 3-year, $60 million contract. And I believe that's the Lakers. And if you do that, you don't lose him for nothing. I believe he's still valuable. And if you do need him in a trade later, you got him. Because you do have Vanderbilt's contract. You do have his. You do have Gabe Vincent's. There are options there. And we have to wait and see what happens June 1 or before on whether they still have their draft pick. We have to wait this out. Now, the only thing we do not wait for is Darvin Ham. He has to go. Like yesterday. He should have been gone yesterday in my book. He needs to go, and the Lakers have to absolutely focus immensely on who to bring in next. They cannot get another bad coach. This is the worst coach of the last 12 years. And the reason why he's worse than Luke, worse than Mike D'Antoni, worse than Mike Brown, and worse than Byron Scott is because he had the talent to be good. But he couldn't do it. He just made way too many mistakes, just not being able to delegate, not being able to understand a simple option change, no offensive flow. Again, guys, Phil Jackson was not an X's and O's guy. We're not looking for an X's and O's guy. We're looking for a guy that knows how to coach NBA players. And he doesn't, he didn't know how to do that. And it cost, and more than that, honestly, when you hear a coach say that its fan base is too tied to each game, yet you put yourself in a position to play Denver in the first round when you didn't have to, that show, that is enough for me to tell, to say you're done. You have absolutely, you are so tone deaf in what matters. You're just clueless. You're clueless in this position. Go be an assistant somewhere for the rest of your life, because I would never hire Darvin Ham to be ahead of any team. That kind of attitude, that kind of response, and then in the end, what happens? You could have won a first-round game. If you're looking at it from a business standpoint, Darvin Ham cost your team, since we're talking about how Genie's cheap and, you know, penny pinching and all that, they cost you probably another round of money. He costs you another round of money with this attitude, because I believe they played anybody, they would have had a much better chance at winning the series. So there you go. That's what I got on that.
Stone, I know the question was put out there for you. If that's the case, and you keep this roster against your better judgment, and with me, I'm still on the fence. I don't know whether I'm going to ultimately think and probably dedicate an episode to whether we actually, or I think, and we think, if LeBron and AD are still the duo that you should build around going forward. I think I'll dedicate an upcoming episode. You definitively says no. Joe says yes. I want to get more panelists on it just to get an overall feeling on that. Definitely want to go ahead and hit on that topic at some point in time down the road more in detail. But let's say you're stuck with this roster, Stone, and you do ultimately fire Ham, which, again, the more days that he's still in the job means the more days, so the more better likelihood he is staying on. I'm not saying that he's staying on. I'm just saying, why hasn't he been fired as of yet? So we'll see. Again, most likely he will be gone, but it's those odds are getting a little bit different as the days go on. But Stone, who would you put in his place? I know Rondo is, again, we all think Rondo is too angry for the position, but I think he would be a great teacher personally. But with his background and his legal issues, I don't think he would be hired, at least as of yet, probably as an assistant first. But who would you throw in there as a coach you're eyeing maybe for this Laker organization?
I don't have a good answer for you, because most likely the answer is somebody in a film room or some video editor or a assistant that we don't know the name of, to be quite, that's like where a lot of the good coaches come nowadays. And you don't have, there's this big misnomer that you have to have this coaching experience and prerequisite to be good at what you do. Darvin Ham was an assistant for 14 years and look what he did. I don't think that that's important, to be honest. I think you have to know basketball and you have to be good at communicating that knowledge to players. That's what matters. And your experience doing that means nothing, in my opinion. So I don't have a good name. Everyone likes Rondo as a candidate. Rondo is my favorite player ever because he thought the game. He didn't play it. He thought it. And that's how he gained his advantages as a player. So I think that he's a great basketball mind. Whether he has the communication aspect to that, I don't know. I don't know the guy personally. Everybody wants to think that, but until you put them in that position, you have no idea. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's, I'm sure there's plenty of other candidates, names, but ultimately my answer is probably someone we've never heard of, is the best candidate for the job. And I just want to really quick, respectfully rebuttal two of Joe's, thought processes, because I could not disagree more strongly with running it back. And I mean this with, you know, the utmost respect, but so I think my first point is I don't trust them either. That's a fair point that you don't trust them to rebuild. And I don't either. But we've had 4 years for them to build around what they have now, and they haven't been able to do it. So I don't trust them to do it moving forward either. And my second point would be, you're going to suck for 3 to 4 years at least, to be in the lottery perennially. Nobody likes to do it, but at least you have a direction. Instead of waiting for LeBron and AD to retire, and then that process starts, you're prolonging the inevitable, in my opinion, because the reality is LeBron and AD are not going to leave unless they ask to be. And it's getting more and more likely, not saying it will happen, but it's way likelier this year than it was last year that they would do something like that. But it's still unlikely that they'll be moved, and eventually they retire as Lakers. You get nothing for them, and then you're still in that same position of having to start over in another 2-3 however many years. And you know, maybe AD sticks around longer, but then you're probably still in that same spot of a 9-7 seed or something. You're not getting any better. I would rather pick a direction of, okay, we have a defined plan. We're going to suck. It's going to suck. Nobody's going to want to watch us, but it is what it is. We have a clear direction of, now you have these players set in place. Guys, you're not going to hit on every pick, because if you did, there would be the same champion every year. You are going to miss on picks, but that's part of the rebuilding process. But at least you have a clear and defined pathway. Right now, I feel like we're continuing to define insanity by doing the same thing over and over, and getting the same results over and over of falling short. And I'm tired of falling short and doing it with the same team. You're not shaking anything up. You're continuing to roll with the same squad. You have the same two core pieces, and everybody else is untouchable. And if you look at other contenders, they got more than two guys that are a part of their core right now. That it's really just two for the Lakers. So I'm over doing this same charade each year, and I want a defined direction. I don't want to be a play-in team every year, because in the NBA, mediocrity is the worst place to be.
Well, the Lakers have reached purgatory.
You can ask the Chicago Bulls. You can ask the Hornets. Being in this place over and over again is the worst place, because there's no way of getting better. You're stuck. And I really want to avoid that before it's too late. And it's probably going to end up being too late with this franchise.
And you can see it on the slide where Joe's, and I'm going to go ahead and hit up Kurt's question here in a second he has for you. But I can see it on one side, and I'm trying to get Angel's comments in there. And I truly appreciate Angel for joining us. He disagrees with you, as a lot of people will disagree with you vehemently. It's a bold take, Stone, and I appreciate you bringing it. Again, it depends on how far you see this window for LeBron and AD. If you don't see it very far, if you see it closing, because it's 5 seasons now, I think. Isn't it 5 seasons, Joe, since the Lakers won the title? Or is it 4 seasons? I don't know. 4 seasons.
21, 22, 23, 24.
So it's 4 seasons. Okay. Because they just got so smashed together because of the pandemic. You know, it's 4 seasons since the Lakers won that championship. So I understand why Stone and others, as a growing thing, get rid of LeBron. I see a lot of comments. Remember, I read all the comments that are out there that say to get rid of LeBron, to get rid of LeBron. Let LeBron go. Let LeBron go. Make sure he signs for less. Do this, do that. Retool or reload or just start over fresh. I mean, there are so many things right now. When you have a team, Joe, that's in 7th place in the Western Conference, that means relatively you're about the 13th to 15th best team in the NBA. You have to ask yourself, do you think you can go higher, or do you think you've hit a ceiling with the actual team that you have now?
There's a couple things why I want to continue to go with this current setup. Number one, I don't want to Bill Belichick it. Bill Belichick was so eager to get rid of Tom Brady and go to the next step. It cost him another Super Bowl. If Pete Carroll just hands the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, it might have happened earlier. There are a lot of things that factor into this. So let's look at the 4 years they didn't win. 2021, AD goes ape shit against Phoenix in game 2 and 3. They're up 2-1. They're like, oh, we're going to win this series. We're going to go back to back. AD gets hurt. Series over. If AD doesn't get hurt and plays through the rest of the playoffs, Lakers are back-to-back champions. There was some discussion, I think even from you, Gerald, that Milwaukee would have been formidable, but I don't believe so. I believe Lakers would have beat them in 6. How does that change things? Well, they don't trade for Westbrook. I don't know if they'd win in 2020.
Well, isn't that formidable if they do beat them in 6?
No, no.
Okay.
Think about it. If the Lakers did it twice last year, you beat a team at home game 1, and then you win all your home games. That is how you're supposed to win a series in a lot of ways, maybe not in a dominant fashion, but in complete control.
Okay.
Formidable would be if it's 2-2, close game 5, close game 6, sure. But that's left to interpretation. But I would not have feared Milwaukee. I just wouldn't have feared Milwaukee.
Okay.
Anthony Davis is 31. Anthony Davis showed me something this year that I hadn't seen in New Orleans or in LA. And that was, I am going to play no matter what. And I think that does something to your mind for the future. It sets things up. You don't go backwards after that. And I believe that Anthony Davis will continue to be a dominant force for the next 2 to 3 years. Now, LeBron, going back to the Tom Brady discussion, I thought LeBron played better this year than he did last year, which I didn't expect. I didn't expect. It doesn't mean he's going to play better even more next year, but I'm willing to see what happens with that. Should the Lakers get the correct coach? And please help in the front court and at least off the bench a guard that can come in. Should you re-sign D'Angelo Russell that could come in and supplant him for 20 minutes? This team needs depth at this point. They need depth. They cannot go with the starting 5 all the way. As far as Rui Hachimura, sure, maybe he didn't have a good series, but that's not who he is, folks. Rui is who he is. You're not going to have – I'm not going to go as far as calling him Devin George in 2004 with the 4 Hall of Famers. I think he's better than Devin George in a lot of ways, maybe not on defense, but he's a good piece on this team. Maybe he shouldn't be a starter, but he's a good piece. And I'm just apprehensive in saying let's just – start over again. We've been doing that and it's not working either. It's just that we've had AD and LeBron, but everybody else keeps getting replaced, whether it's Rui, whether it's D'Angelo, whether it's, you know, Gabe Vincent coming in late. Like this team needs to hit on their exceptions this summer, and they need to hit hopefully in the draft should they have the first round. If that happens, then they're in good shape. Now, if there is a trade out there, that makes sense. Lakers have a lot of money that they can trade. They can trade Vando, Gabe. They re-sign D'Angelo, package him in something. You want to send Rui out. There are some options there, but please be careful. Do not get a third guy, and then that's it. It won't work either. The Lakers need some depth should they bring everybody back this time. If you're going to get a third guy, it better be an all-world third. Someone who could play 82 games throughout the year and really, really cover AD and LeBron's rear end when they're sitting. Otherwise, we're going to watch a play-in team again, and I do agree with that. But there has to be an improvement at the head coaching spot, first and foremost. I truly believe I'm just going to throw his name out there because it's the quickest one and the most likely that it could have been him. If they get, let's say Clippers bomb and get bounced, and the Clippers decide to let Ty Lue go, go get him ASAP. Get him ASAP, and then watch what thy guy will be in terms of a difference. And I wasn't a Ty guy when I first heard his name the first time before they've hired Frank Vogel. I wasn't a fan. He was having conniption fits on the sidelines in Cleveland. I'm like, how the hell is this guy going to last in L.A.? Well, Ty Lue was a Laker. He knows the Laker culture. I'm like, no, hold on. Ty Lue was a role player who did some things here and there in game one of a finals game. That's it. I mean, he was good. Don't get me wrong. He was a formidable role player, not big, but formidable. But I said, he's more known for getting stepped over. That's who Ty Lue is. There's not a lot of pressure on that team. He had enough great players on there to not have the pressure. I go, but if he's going to have heart attacks in Cleveland, what the hell's going to happen in L.A.? Well, went to the Clippers, and I've seen some really good stuff. Unfortunately, he's had some bad luck over there with Kawhi. And maybe the Clippers say, look, we're going to start kind of going a different direction here, going into the new arena. We'll let Lue go, and we'll go find someone that's young that can start developing the next phase of this thing. If that happens, which I don't think it will, but let's say it does, you go get him. Bud is Darvin Ham's mentor. You really want that shit? No, you don't want that. So that's a no. Rondo would be a great coach in a vacuum. But he will not be a coach in the NBA. He will not last. He would make these pansies cry in the first practice. That's like asking Kobe to coach. Yeah, Rondo's like that. Rondo is like that. Rondo is not a nice guy. Rondo will eat you up. And these pansies will not last one practice with Rondo as head coach. He would need a Tim Duncan, a Dirk Nowitzki, number one, for him to coach in the NBA. And that's very hard to find those guys. Extremely hard to find a star player that can eat shit in front of everybody for 10, 12 years.
So let me get you back into the stone. I know there's some things that you want to cover before we end and out, but one of the things I wanted to drop from Kurt is, would you prefer to keep the first round picks and draft away to success or trade them for a piece now? So I want to hear your thoughts on that stone before I let you, before you elaborate more on some of the things you want to touch on with this team.
Yeah. I mean, the cop-out answer is, you know, it depends who that player is and who those picks are. It's kind of hard to answer without that in there, but you know, in a vacuum, I'm very pro start with a clean slate, just wipe it all off. I want to go scorched earth with this team, and I think it's very hard to toe the line of staying somewhat competitive and successfully retooling or rebuilding, I should say. So making sure that you still have some competitive nature left, but you also are funneling in young talent, and it's very difficult to do that. Thunder are the best example, and they're one of one in the NBA right now. They're the only team currently doing that. It's very difficult. So I'm of the belief that 99% of the time, you have to go all in one way or the other. And for me, I think we've plateaued one way, and I'm all for going all in on the other at this point in time. And I was interested to hear Joe's perspective, because I kind of wanted to just get clarity on what the disconnect is as to how I see it and how he sees it. And it seems to be that I think he is higher on the players that we roster currently than I am. I think I don't view Rui as a starter caliber player. I view him as a bench player. I think he's a starter out of necessity with this team. I think D'Lo I think we saw the real D'Lo in the playoffs, because I don't think that this year, when you look at D'Lo's career beforehand, he's always been who we've seen in the playoff, very up and down. That's just who he is. And I think that getting the consistency out of him that we did this year was an anomaly. I don't think it's something I'd prefer to bet on moving forward. And with LeBron, there's no way to there's no way to definitively say this because it's impossible. But when you start getting up to that age, the drop off gets closer and closer. Every player, Father Time is undefeated, as the saying goes. LeBron's defeated him thus far, but it's not going to last forever. And who's to say that it next year isn't the drop off? Every player has the drop off when they get to, especially that level of age. Once you hit 35, each year from then on out is starting to increase the likelihood of that drop off happening eventually. LeBron's the exception, playing as he is at age 39. If LeBron isn't playing to this level to next year, AD isn't having the healthiest season that he's had in his entire career. The Lakers don't even have the level of success that they do this year, which is a first round exit. And you're betting on LeBron continuing that as a 40-year-old. You're betting on AD doing that with the injury history that he has. I just don't feel comfortable with that. And I think that, as I said earlier, it's prolonging what I think is going to happen eventually anyway. So I would rather get a head start and a jump start on that than having to deal with this until we get to that point. And that's just kind of where I am. But yeah, as far as where I'm at with the picks and all that, I'd rather keep them and start over with them.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It's a snack pack for everyone. It's Gerald Glassford, Stone Hansen, and Joe Sorrell. Appreciate you joining us. Please like and subscribe. Support the channel any way you can. It really helps us out because we'll be here throughout the summer and throughout the fall. We're not going anywhere. We're not saying 1-2-3 Cancun right here at the Lakers Fast Break. So, Joe, let me bring it back to you with what's going on with the Lakers. Obviously, again, the silence is not golden in this case, my friend, when it comes to a decision made yet on Darvin Ham. I don't know whether they want to sit on it, take more time with it. It's kind of just, I don't know what they're delaying the inevitable. We all think it's the inevitable that he's getting fired, but with each passing day, it just seems to me like they're leaving the room more and more open for a return for Darvin Ham, Joe. And I'm not sure I'm cool with that.
Well, we can't sit here and say they need to be prepared and thinking and then make a brash decision right away. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if they fire him right now or next week. What they need to do is they need to have a plan set. What kind of NBA coach can help this team win a championship? I believe had they had a competent coach, this team would not be in the position they're in right now. They'd still be playing because I believe they would have gotten those five wins and they would have been playing in the first round at home against the Clippers. And I'll stand by that. It's a completely different philosophy at that point, a completely different mentality. He got out coached last year against Denver. He got out coached this year. And I don't even know if it's out coached, to be honest. I think he just doesn't know how to coach. He just doesn't know. You don't believe me? Watch footage of LeBron after that out of bounds.
The outburst that he had.
You think that just happened in that minute? That's an accumulation of constant inadequate decision making. We're in an era where we can get a lot of information these days, which is puzzling to me why we're suffering as a society in a lot of communication issues. We should be very happy at the information in our at our disposal at any moment of the time of the day. How much video have we watched all year on why are the Lakers running this particular play? Why are they running Austin over here? Why is D'Angelo shooting over? Like all these bad decisions that you see during the game. Why are they shooting like that? What are they doing there? I want to ask you guys a question. Did you guys, in the five games watching Denver, did you ever see Denver? I'm sure there was a few, but did you ever, like, obviously see them really make bad decisions? Shooting-wise, passing-wise?
Much fewer than the Lakers, and I think it's because they're just better in every aspect.
Okay. Now, let's talk about better. Obviously, Porter is better than everyone on the Lakers except LeBron and AD, correct? Jamal, Jokic, you could say they're their top three. And then you have KCP and is it Braun or Brown?
Brown.
It's Brown, but spelled wrong. Okay.
Yeah, I struggled with it his entire
this season so before. His name is Brown. He's going against the cuff there. Okay. They're guys like KCP help them win one of these games, and that's what those teams do, right? A role player, when a team is this good, a role player will come in and win a game for you. That's what we said before the series started. We're like, we need one of these guys to win a series. And unfortunately, we didn't get anybody that could do that. Mike Malone, if you see him during a game, he's Peyton Manning. He's everywhere. He's calling plays. He's calling sets. He's telling guys where to go. And then you can look at it, too, as Phil Jackson rarely did that towards the last half of his career because he had everything dialed in. Plus, it helps to have somebody like Kobe Bryant. I mean, Kobe Bryant, and this is – I'm gonna end this discussion with this. The reason why Phil – because age had a factor in it, the fact that he couldn't walk, obviously. The physical issues was a lot of the cause of that. But Luke Walton, they were playing New York. Luke Walton made a mistake. And by the way, it was like one mistake that game. How many mistakes do the Lakers make now with no repercussions, right? Whether through LeBron, AD, or the coach. Luke Walton gave the ball back to Kobe with 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and Kobe reamed him the entire time from then till he got to the locker room. And when he got to the locker room, they said he was screaming so loud that people heard him say, the only reason why he's in this league is it's because of his daddy. And for those of you who might wonder why we mentioned Kobe a lot, besides the fact that he was a Laker, this is what we watched for 20 years. So it's hard to get out of that. Michael Jordan did a documentary where they loosely told, because they didn't go all the way with it, loosely told what a tyrant he was. That's what we're used to. I'm used to a dad who was a disciplinarian. Now, my dad he wasn't Bobby Knight. He was more kind of a mix between what would be a good disciplinarian that would make sense and that you would all know. Mike Krzyzewski. Mike Krzyzewski is known as a guy that probably in the front that's kind of nice, right? But behind the scenes, he was a disciplinarian. My dad didn't really show his stuff in the public. It was inside the house where he did his damage. but it was only when you did something wrong. My dad actually didn't like Bobby Knight because he thought he went overboard. He goes, when you go overboard, that's a you problem now. It's not you're not trying to solve the problem or you're not trying to discipline. It's about throwing chairs and doing all that. Now it's you. You need to get your stuff off. So I guess I'm hoping for something that might not be realistic here. I'm hoping for a coach that LeBron and AD would allow to kind of get under them a little bit. Because I think if they allowed that, it would go a long way in letting the other guys really understand who they are and what they're supposed to do.
And I think that's maybe where we disagree because I think we're more than a coach away. I think that's where I'm coming from. And I think ultimately, regardless of where we stand on this issue of how the Lakers move forward, it may not even be up to us or the Lakers. Because if D'Angelo were to leave this summer and LeBron, I don't think he's leaving, but I don't consider it impossible that he retires even though I know everyone thinks he's going to have a retirement tour and all that, everything to me points to that he just doesn't want to be there. He's over basketball and he wants to be with his family or whatever, which fine, whatever. He has nothing more to accomplish. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I don't think it's unlikely, as people would say. So it may not even be up into the Lakers' hands of how they move forward. They may be forced into a direction that they don't anticipate. And I think that that is something that's maybe not that's maybe being overlooked. And there's a lot of things that are going to happen with the Olympics and all that. And that's where the most recruiting happens, is at Team USA. That's where the most recruiting happens, and how NBA teams are built, honestly, in today's NBA, is through Team USA. And that's how teams are built. And I think over the course of that time is when we'll find out, you know, or shortly after, where LeBron goes from here. But I don't necessarily think that it's going to be all up to the Lakers, even though we disagree on how they move forward. I think we both agree that regardless of either way, we don't trust this organization to go either direction in the most efficient manner. So I think that it's going to continue on all summer, because we're not going to know which direction they pick or which direction the players pick. And it's going to be frustrating because we're going to want to know it. But this team there's a lot of issues to fix one way or another. And it's an uphill battle, as it has been every summer since the last championship. And as far as the coaching, I agree that you need someone to be more of a disciplinarian. I think Darvin Ham is someone that just probably, for lack of a better term, is a doormat in practice, lets players walk over him. You know, LeBron at this point in time probably just doesn't care. He's going to do what he wants. He's in year 21. LeBron is going to play basketball how he wants to play basketball. And people might say he's done that his entire career, which is fine. It's gotten him rings, which is what he cares about. I think this team is between a rock and a hard place, and it's I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being in that place.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Stone Hansen, Joe Soro, and me, Joe Glassford. Thanks so much again for listening to the Lakers Snack Pack. I'll ask you this, Joe. I know Stone touched on it as well, and you did as well. I know Devotion was asking about, you know, the roster, and we had said all year, Joe, that this team is not good enough to beat a Denver Nuggets. We shouldn't be surprised at the outcome. They finished 10 games ahead of us in the regular season. They are the defending world champions. The fact that we led 70% of the series, we were in all five games and had a chance to win all five games, I think is a credit to, you know, just the fact that the Lakers' effort out there was as best as that they could give. But again, you always talk about talent and results. And we've been saying all year long, and it shouldn't come to a surprise to anyone who has watched this show or channel, that what the outcome ultimately was for the Los Angeles Lakers. Because again, the difference is there during the regular season and what we saw in the postseason as well, Joe. They were just a better team, ultimately, when it came right down to it.
Yeah, they're a better team, and they have better leadership. The Lakers, have some good things going here. There's some, a lot of these guys are still young, very young actually. And if they're not going to completely retool, then fix the front court issue. Get a legitimate center on this team, put AD back at the four, and then get some guard depth using your MLE and hopefully in the draft. If you can do that and then re-sign D'Angelo, re-sign D'Angelo for two reasons. Number one, he's still valuable, and you don't want to lose him for nothing. If you, if something presents itself, you have an option to use that contract to get someone. I'm tired of the revamping things every year. I really am tired of it. It took away a multiple title run, and I'm not gonna support it anymore. I'm not. If you want to revamp, then you have to start from the top, and the top is LeBron James. If you're not gonna do that, then bring everyone back. Please get a coach that will command respect. And you really, really have to say, guys, this is their job. It is Jeannie and Rob's job to convince the player they are paying to accept the head coach that comes in that demands respect. Otherwise, how the hell is everyone going to get on board and be disciplined and understand that the deficiencies you had that you didn't get rid of? Number one, layups. What have I been saying for three mother effing years? Do something about this layup issue you guys have. LeBron James won. Where are the training tactics? LeBron is tired. He doesn't want to do those things. Well, LeBron, do you want to win a championship? Yeah, I want to win a championship. Then play like you want to win a championship. You have a problem. You keep missing these shots. Oh, the other thing is, you keep complaining and leaving your guys in the dust. Stop doing that. No one is telling him not to do that. No one is telling him you need to work on making your layups. Because it seeped over to Rui. You could say that we lost this series because of missed layups. You can't miss. And you look at Jokic. You look at Jamal Murray. They're hitting them from up high in the backboard. Jokic, every single freaking drop shot was tink, tink, tink in. You think that's all? It's just all luck? Yeah, it's luck if it happens in one game. It happened in five games. It's not luck now. It's a tactic. It's what he does. Are you about winning championships? Are you really? Because this may say it, but this doesn't. Does this say it? This is what matters. Doing it.
So I ask you, Stone. Oh, go ahead, Joe. Do you want to just add something in?
It's important. It's very important to understand what that is. What do you want? What do you really want? Stop BSing us. And maybe guys like Stone and I aren't relevant in this discussion because 90% of the population doesn't think that way. They're just more about, well, let's just do this, let's just do that. They're maybe not even thinking about it. They're not thinking about the mechanics of the game. You think the 18,000 people at the Crypt are maybe one or two are looking at sets, call one, call two. You think any of them right now, if I went over and did this, other than Diane Cannon, is going to know what the hell that is? So we're the basketball nerds. But here's the problem with that. That's what wins. Technique, fundamentals, discipline, coaching, footwork. You watch Jokic's footwork? It's important. It's important. You want, and I hear you want to win. Everybody wants to win, but at what cost do you want to win? And as LeBron going to allow a coach, this is likely his last coach. Is he going to see this summer and go, okay, I'm going to come back, but I'm going to try my best to be supportive of this next coach. But Jeannie, we need the right coach this time. And we're not going to know anything about this team. They could bring everyone back. They could trade for Trae Young. But I'll tell you right now, if they don't get the right coach, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. Nothing's going to get accomplished. This team needs a goddamn coach that knows what he's doing and that can adapt and change. Yes, we are greedy. We need the right coach, a great coach, young, old, something. Get that guy in there. I guarantee you guys, I have no doubt, had they had the right coach this year, they wouldn't have been in this position. They'd still be playing. Because too many of these mistakes that they were making was just lack of knowledge, coaching, discipline, all those things. They looked like they were playing at the Y most of the time. And that can't happen. You can't, not when you're trying to win a championship.
So we got just a few minutes left. Stone, I want to make sure I cover as many things that you wanted to cover before we went on the air. So go ahead, Stone. I mean, when it comes to the Lakers, the offseason plan is now. The offseason decisions are going to start to be made. We have yet to see them in practice already. But again, there's so much to discuss over the next few months, and we'll be discussing it here. But what do you have for us now before we head on out?
Yeah, I think really my final point is that the way the Lakers culture is built is through stars. I guess you can argue that for most teams, right? But the way that the Lakers approach it is a double-edged sword, because they will bend over backwards and grovel over every superstar they get, and they do it because they want to keep that funneling of superstars coming in. That has been since the entire longevity of the Buss family how they approach this, and that's fine to a degree, because that the double-edged sword of it is that when it gets time to the end of their careers, to the point where they're no longer those superstars that they brought in, they continue to bend over backwards for players, to the detriment of the team. And you know, we all love Kobe. I love Kobe too. But at the end of the day, his final contract was a bad one. I'm in the market of doing what's best for the team, to get the most success out of the team, than I am for pulling out heartstrings to keep a fan favorite. I want what's best for the team strategically, and I don't really care what the cost is. The Kobe contract, his final one was bad. LeBron's final one is going to be bad, because they do whatever they can to keep superstars happy. And it's to the detriment of the team. It really is, because there's better routes and better options to getting this team where you want it to go than keeping your superstars happy and groveling at the heartstrings of your fans.
Lifted again. Most people, individuals out there, don't take such a bold take, Stone. They are saying just, you know, add on to the pieces that you already have. But I think in the coming days, I think everybody needs to just ask themselves if really, really the Lakers can go ahead and win at a higher level with this unit and with the pieces that they have to offer and the pieces they have to trade. I think, Joe, we have to realistically look at the Gabe and Vando contracts as not being very valuable because of the lack of contribution both gave this year and the tendency to injury that they both have. So I don't know how much in the way of assets, what that will bring back, Joe. So I just don't know as of now exactly how much of a improvement above what we currently have we can get.
There's going to be steps to this. Number one, the first step that needs to happen is they need to get rid of Darvin Ham. The second step is they need to find out if LeBron is coming back. And then number three, I'm hoping that New Orleans allows the Lakers to keep the pick this year. Even in a weak draft, there might be some value there, either through a trade
I'd be shocked if they didn't defer. I really would. I think there's an 85% chance the Lakers keep this pick.
Okay. So if they keep the pick, that means there's an asset there should they not, should they need it. Gabe Vincent contract, the Vanderbilt contract, they're not untradeable.
I didn't say they were untradeable. I just said they're not desirable.
No. Well, most of these guys are not desirable. I think a lot of it will come down to what you can get in terms of draft picks and what you're willing to pay a marginal player versus paying maybe somebody that's getting paid too much money. I keep hearing the name Jeremy Grant.
Double. No.
Worst contract in the league.
Yes.
I keep hearing Mitchell out in Cleveland. I keep hearing Trae Young. I am predicting that there's finally going, it's been a 2-year kind of drought here. I'm predicting that there's going to be some action this summer.
Oh, you're hearing Kevin Durant now.
We're going to hear tons of players.
That might be the worst contract, not because of the money, but also because of the person.
No, Beal's the worst contract right now, I think.
Or Jaylen Brown.
So, okay, thank you for bringing that up, Stone. If the Celtics flame out, what do they do? There's going to be a lot of movement, I believe, this summer.
I agree.
How that plays into the Lakers' situation is it gives the Lakers maybe some options in doing a three-team situation, which usually is difficult. But if they can get that situated, it's a lot easier to move around contracts and not need as much because there's a third team in that trade. Can the Lakers acquire a third player and build depth this summer with a new coach? That's a question I have for you, Stone, and you, Gerald, and you, the audience. Can the Lakers bring in a third guy? Doesn't have to be like a third star, but a damn good player. Like a guy that you wouldn't worry about if AD and LeBron sat at the same time. That's what I'm talking about. Can the Lakers this summer get the right coach, bring in that third guy, and still have a little bit of depth? Not a lot, a little bit. That is the answer. That's the ultimate answer to having a shot next year.
That is the only way I'd be interested
in. I knew I'd get you. I got him.
You did get me, but there's caveats to this. There's caveats to this. As you know, but
it's okay. I already won tonight. You say whatever you want now.
It has to be the right player. It has to be a player that spaces the floor. I know everyone wants a center with AD. Spacing is a big issue. You need to have four spacing players in the NBA. That's just how that works nowadays. It has to be a player that spaces the floor, and it has to be a player that defends on the perimeter. You have to have those two things. That's very difficult to find. Mitchell does do that when healthy, but it's very difficult to find that. You need the right coach, and I don't see a pathway to both acquiring that third star and keeping depth. I think it's one or the other. I don't see the financial pathway to that. And I just want to bring up one last point here, because I know we're getting ready to go. But if you were to keep this team together, let's say we get the right coach, we don't get the third star, but we bring, you know, most everyone that's important back. And, you know, maybe add a piece or two that's more rotation pieces. You're now a team that's staring down the face, because you're going to have to bring LeBron back on a max. He's not taking a discount. I know people want him to. He's not. And if D'Lo comes back in that scenario, you're paying him $20 million at least.
You're in the second apron is what you're in.
For multiple years, Gerald, not one. That's, you're staring down the face of that for the next 2 to 3 years, and that's what I'm afraid of. Because if that team continues to be a play-in team for the next 2 to 3 years, you're putting yourself in a situation where now you have no moves to make. You can't, you cannot get out of this situation with trades. You're stuck because you've hit that apron and you have no way to get out of it. And you're doing that for 2 to 3 years as a play-in team. And that scares me.
Well, the thing is, now it makes it more relevant that the Lakers should have made just a minor trade to get under the cap, get Genie some extra money, extra millions now, so that you can feel a little bit better when you go over that second tax, first tax, second tax aprons that you will be going over in successive years, Stone. Would have been nice and smart if they just made that one maneuver to get them under the tap, because that's how close they were to getting under that first tax apron and actually getting Genie some money for a team, like you said, that probably wouldn't have had any difference as far as how many games they would have won ultimately.
Yeah. And I know people were saying, I don't read the chat. I do look at the chat. I don't usually respond to comments, but I did see this one saying that I'd rather be in the play-in than Detroit situation. To be quite honest, I get the same amount of satisfaction from being a ninth seed as I do a 15th seed, because neither are champions. That's all I care about. If you're a ninth seed or a 15th seed, I do not care. I don't feel any different one way or the other. I get no more pride out of being a play-in team than I do at the bottom of the lottery. And that's, I care about championships, not being higher, as a non-contender. And that's where my priorities lie. Other people's are different. And that's completely fine. But for me, I'd rather be the best. I'd rather pick a strategy and I get the same amount of satisfaction as being a 15th seed as I do getting knocked out in the first round.
That roadmap that OKC has built, Stone, before I'll get it to you, second Joe, that roadmap that OKC has built, that has become very, admirable or admired by so many other teams and fan bases in the league. Is that not correct, Stone?
And look how they did it. Yeah. Acquiring picks, taking on bad contracts. And they had a couple years of not doing that well. They still maintained some competitive nature because the guys on bad contracts still brought value. Some guys like Chris Paul and at that time. It's not a foregone conclusion that you have to be a 15th seed or 14th seed every time you tank. But the roadmap of what Presti did shows that tanking does produce results if done properly. If you make the right picks, not every team is going to make the right picks, and a lot of teams are going to miss, especially the Lakers, but that's part of the rebuilding process. That's why it does take, 3 to 5 years. But it provides a direction, and it provides, and you look at, I've said it multiple times on this show now, you look at the most of the top teams in the NBA, 2 to 3 of their best players are drafted by that team.
And Scarlett says, and where has it gotten OKC? Well, it's gotten them
rather than the Lakers.
Yeah. A sweep, waiting in the second round. And it has them with what, 40 draft picks through the rest of this decade?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's pretty damn good to me.
Like I said, people, a lot of people don't want to tank because they don't want to lose. And that's fine. Nobody wants to lose. Nobody does. But are you really that much happier being a 9 seed? Does that really bring you that much joy being a first round exit? To me, it doesn't. And that's just where I'm at with why I'm so pro tearing it down.
True. Scarlett, Lakers did get a 2020 championship. But if you look at it on the other end, and I'm not saying you should either which way, you see that the OKC Thunder, Joe, are going to continuously be there for the rest of this decade. They will continually be a top-level team for the rest of this decade. The Lakers, we don't even know if they'll be a top-level team next year, Joe. So I think we need to go ahead and come to reality on that. So it just, again, it's how you build and construct your team. And I think part of the problem with this organization, Joe, is right where it starts and who's trying to build this team in the first place.
We've heard this story before. 2012. We know how it ended. So I'm not going to count the chickens before.
Are you talking about the 76ers?
No, I'm talking about Oklahoma City and then later the 76ers.
Okay. Well, again, they're looking pretty good right now. They're pretty set up right now.
Yeah, looking pretty good. doesn't mean anything until you win a championship.
Nope, Lakers, I agree.
You heard it with Oklahoma City in 12. You heard it with the Sixers. You heard it with the Clippers twice. I think we romanticize the ascent because it is easy. There's no pressure in Oklahoma. There's no pressure on Chet Holmgren. There's no pressure on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And by the way, that was what expedited this thing. The fact that the Clippers were stupid enough to give them an MVP for Paul George. And that was something that Doc Rivers told ownership. You guys, or actually told Kawhi. He goes, you sure you want to do this? That's why you never let a player dictate your team.
Well, it was never. Because they were getting Kawhi and PG because of that deal.
Well, by doing that, they've won nothing. And they're going to not win anything. And they just gave up a future MVP who could have been on their team for another 10 years. You think Paul George is going to be on that team 2 years from now? The answer is no. But anyways, show me the money first before you start yapping about Presti and his precious draft picks. Yeah. We saw this too with Boston. I was going to leave that them for last. How much were people just creaming over themselves over this Danny Ainge genius up in Boston? And what did he win after 2008? He won dick with all those draft picks. This is about winning championships. If it doesn't bear a Larry O'Brien trophy, it means nothing. That's it. There's nothing else. It's like drafting Zubac and then trading him for Muscala. Doesn't matter how smart you were in plucking him in the second round. Doesn't matter how smart you were in plucking Alex Caruso at a free agency. You let him go. You traded Zubac for nothing. Now, the good thing about Caruso is at least he helped the Lakers win a championship. So there's a little bit of a massaging there a little bit. But in the end, it still hurts. Because we're so enamored with stars. I love Magic. Absolutely love Magic. I love Kobe. I love all these guys. But like there's one thing that Stone did say that I will always agree with. We're about the Lakers. And even Laker greats have been a detriment to their own team. Magic Johnson is great at being Magic Johnson. The reason why Magic Johnson is a great businessman is because he is allowed to be Magic Johnson in those business deals. If he was Jim Smith, he would fail. I'm sorry, he wouldn't be as successful. Michael Jordan, supposed to be this genius businessman, right? And he kind of alluded to it a little bit in the documentary. When he was talking about the Nike deals and the Gatorade deals and the McDonald's deals, he goes, look, man, this stuff doesn't happen unless I'm averaging 30 points a game. If I was averaging 2 points a game, this wouldn't happen. So when Michael is being Michael, and Michael's greatest feat in his life will never be met again. He was one of the best lines in the documentary. It's arguable that Michael Jordan was better at his job than anyone has ever been at their job. When I heard that line, I was like, God damn, that's a hell of a line, right? To put up any job, that means any job. But he couldn't run a basketball team because he wasn't about it. He was about owning a basketball team instead of owning it. When we watch Winning Time, Dr. Buss wasn't Donald Sterling sitting around cheating behind his wife and being around skanks and being around a bunch of drug addict scumbags. Dr. Buss was about the work, talking to Jerry, talking to Bill, talking to Pat Riley, talking to Chick. He was in it. Talking to the players, making them feel happy, always wanting to go the extra mile. Well, You shouldn't be paying Michael Cooper this kind of money. What are you, crazy? Yeah, but you guys don't see the future. See, that was another thing too, is when I talk about my business, I want smart people around me. Smart. Dr. Buss has a PhD in chemistry. He was a numbers guy. He calculated stuff. Usually guys that are good with that kind of stuff see things ahead more than regular people. He saw where the NBA was going. He saw what the numbers were going to turn into, and he got ahead of it. And what happened? It just kept getting better and better and better. And now we're expecting Genie to Genie doesn't have – Genie's been – unfortunately, she was born second. And usually the second kids, they don't live desperate. They live in a life of luxury. It takes a crazy mindset to grow up with all the privileges and still be hungry. But getting off the subject here a little bit, but in the end, guys, as a fan base, we're here for the Lakers' well-being. We want them to win. Whether it's with LeBron, with AD or not, there's not really an answer to it in a lot of ways. There's no answer at this moment. What is the answer? Because you could do everything right and it still don't work. That happens a lot. We're going to have to play it by ear at this point.
So before we head on out, Stone, I wanted to go ahead and make sure you give an update to everyone on what you've been working on your Twitter. Twitter.com. Go ahead and check out Stone Hansen's report_court, my friend, and what you've been up to with the upside swings and everything going on as far as what draft prospects you've been checking out as of late.
Yeah, I am doing draft stuff not as frequently as I had in the past, but we are trying, hopefully moving forward, to get out maybe one upside swings episode a week, which I hopefully too will be able to make this show once a week moving forward. If you have any draft related interests or anything like that, all my draft work can be found at report_court on Twitter. I have a lot of prior work up and available on upsideswings.com. And like I said, hopefully each week we'll be coming out with a podcast that verbally discusses and breaks down as in-depth as possible each prospect in this class, so that hopefully you can come away with a better understanding of who these guys might be, or maybe have an opinion that's a little more formulated on how you think of these players.
Kurt, I don't think there is a consensus number one pick. I know Sar is leading a lot of people's choices, but I don't think Stone, he is the number one right now, if you had to pin it down today, from what I'm reading on your Twitter.
I don't know who the number one is for consensus. For me, it's Ron Holland. I have Ron, which I don't think is very popular, but I've seen
it Sar, was at one time.
Yeah, I've seen Sar at one, Holland at one, Risa Scher at one, Topic at one. Everyone has different ones, it seems like. But for me, it's Holland.
Okay, but I definitely want to get Stone back for more Lakers talk and also draft talk as well as we get into that, especially if the Lakers do get that number 17 pick, but we'll see. Joe, I know they're asking about an ICAP. I know I will be taping later today Inside Sports Fantasy Football, which you and Sean are invited, but they want to know if there's any more nightcaps in your future, Joe. Go ahead. I'm going to unmute you now.
Nightcaps are coming, folks. I just won't have one tonight. I need to shift some of my activities here a little bit so that I can freely allow myself the opening during the evenings. The late evening stuff will likely not be the times. The 11 o'clock nightcaps were only a necessity because of the late West games. I'm trying to be a smarter person in the sleep situation. I don't want to be sleeping at midnight, 1 o'clock every night. So if I do a nightcap, it's going to be obviously much easier now that the season's over. Probably anywhere between 8 and 10. And that's what I'm going to stick with. And I'm trying to see if I can get lucky and get Stone on some of those too. lot of my guys, God bless Sean. I know he can stay up, but I'd like to have him not stay up until 4 a.m. as well.
But he's on the East Coast now as well.
Yeah, but if I do an hour show at 8 o'clock,
we'll talk it out after.
There's a chance there. If he wants to go to sleep at 10 or 10:30, then maybe I'll set up at 7. It's still the nightcap. It's still I prefer to have my guys with me instead of me just being by myself, because I think there's more information there for everyone to get.
We'll see.
Yes, I can run on 3 hours sleep. It's not really me, really. It's for the fam. My fam wants me to be here for a while. You know, when you don't get enough sleep over a long period of time, it's a health hazard. And I try to take pride as much as I can, even though my diet isn't as good as I'd like it to be. But I take pride in continuing to try to work out and stay in shape and get proper sleep. And yeah.
We'll go from there. But once again, it is Joe Soro, a.k.a. Ox1947, LakersPaul.com, and of course his company, Simblades, SimbladesWorldwide.com, and Stone Hansen. Please always check Twitter or X, wherever you want to call it, @report_court. But Endorphin says, drink multiple Red Bulls like Cool Bro Joe. No.
I'll have a Red Bull if I'm at an event and somebody has a Red Bull and that's the only drink. Sure. I'll have a Red Bull and vodka. I actually like that drink. Terrible for you, but it tastes good. But the problem with Cool Bro is, and again, I don't even know if he's legit. You know, he could be some 66-year-old middle-aged weirdo for all we know. But let's just say he is a 15-year-old. He has one of the worst diets a 15-year-old can have and terrible movie decisions. So whatever's going on there needs to change. Otherwise, this kid's going to have a stroke by the time he's 30.
Especially if the Lakers keep performing like this.
Well, he doesn't even watch the game, Stone. He just follows along.
That's more me. Yeah. I'm going to have a stroke by 30 if the
Lakers
keep
doing this. Again, I feel there's a too much unknown there.
Way too much unknown. Indeed.
Way too much unknown. And that's probably, your instincts, folks, is a very beautiful super. Your instincts is your superpower. And a lot of times people don't tap into it enough.
Well, I promised I would debate him on Star Wars on May the 4th. So
the day I debate anything with him is the day I'm not here.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to debate to an avatar. I will see avatar.
Whatever AI is going to be there for him. So we'll see. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Stone Hansen @report_court on Twitter. Of course, Joe Soro, aka Ox1947 @LakersPaul.com. Me, I'm going to do Inside Sports Fantasy Football later this evening. Of course, Pop Culture Cosmos. I just did a State of Pro Wrestling with John Orlando on Pop Culture Cosmos. So go ahead and check it out today. And check out everything that we do, because we will still be here asking all the questions and hopefully giving you the right answers always right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.